Our scripture reading is from Luke 16, verses 1 to 13. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the possessions away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So when I read the scripture for this week, I was kind of hoping that they had mistranslated it because it would make it a lot easier to preach. But when you go back to it, it's translated correctly, and it's one of the strangest stories that we hear Jesus tell in this parable of the shrewd manager. In some translations, they call it the dishonest manager. Some it's called the shrewd manager. Some it's called the crafty manager. So I'm not really sure whether we should lock the guy or not lock the guy. But what I do know is it leaves us with a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions, and I'm not going to attempt to answer all those questions today. So you'll get to go home and kind of ask those same questions again. But I think there are some things that we can learn from our scripture today. But it leaves me with a question for you, and it's going to be left field. I want to know, what is your favorite snack? What snack, like if you stop at the gas station for a road trip, or you just want to sit down and kind of relax, what's some of your favorite snacks? Potato chips. Peanuts.
Cheese popcorn.
Cheese popcorn, all right, good. Chocolate, that's right, that's right.
Good.
What's that, Klondike bars. Nice, yeah. You get me on the ice cream. I'm all about some ice cream, so. Yeah, my favorite snack, and it's strange, but it's what's kind of hitting me right now, is Grapico and cheese puffs. And not like the Diet Grapico, and not like the Fanta or off-brand Grapico. It's got to be a real Grapico. And the cheese puffs, they can't be like the Cheetos brand or the off-brand. They got to be Golden Flake. They're the freshest. They pair nicely with the Grapico. Lila and I, we've actually been trying to eat a little healthier, and so I don't get to eat my cheese puffs and my Grapico as often as I want to. But last Wednesday, I had weighed in and I'd lost 16 pounds, and we had our first youth Bible study. Yes, teenagers were there. Is at 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday mornings at Starbucks. So we bribe them with free coffee. And they come and we get to do a devotion before school. And then some of them take coffee and bribe their teachers for an A that day in class. So we'd started our youth out that morning at 6:30. We had worked all day. I was in meetings all day. We have staff meeting on Wednesday. And then our last Bible study for youth ends around 8 or 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. So I get started at 6:30 a.m. and I end about 8:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. So that's why I drag around on Thursdays and Fridays. It had been a long day, and I decided, you know, I deserve some Grapico and cheese puffs. So I stopped at the Circle K, the Kangaroo close to where we live, and I went in and got it, and it was going to be at past my daughter Arlie's bedtime. I was like, good. I won't have to share. She won't like try to beg me. Like I'll get to just sit in my recliner, watch TV, and eat my snack. Well, Lila had decided that since I hadn't seen Arlie all day, that she would let Arlie stay up and see Daddy before she goes to bed, which is good. It was a nice surprise. However, I was trying to hide my cheese puffs because I didn't want to share. But I wasn't quick enough. Arlie spotted them. She started begging for some cheese puffs. And so I sat her up in my lap, I got her blanket, and we got her all fixed. And so I gave her one, and then I'd eat two, and I'd give her one, and I'd eat two, you know. I was a little upset that I had to share my cheese puffs, because I like to have the whole bag for myself. But then she's like giving me cheesy kisses, you know, her mouth's covered in cheese, and I'm getting kisses, and thank yous, and the way a 1.5-year-old can say thank you is just melts your heart. I was getting cuddles, and then she saw me like lick the cheese off my finger, and then so she decided, hey, that's a great idea. So she starts sitting there licking the cheese off her fingers too, and I got to spend time with my daughter that I would not have gotten to spend if I had been selfish and not chosen to share and do good with what I had. So have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that place where it's like, this is mine, or I need to get this done, and I really don't have time to be bothered. I really don't want to share. Maybe for you, like last Sunday, we had a missionary from the Philippines come and speak in some of our services. And so some of you may have been planning on going out to eat a juicy steak after church, but your heartstrings were pulled, and it was like, do I afford the juicy steak this week, or do I help the missionary out this week? You know, I can't do both kind of thing. Maybe for you, it's the struggle between I can stay late at my work and get extra work done, or I could go watch my grandson play t-ball. You know, which am I going to do? One's going to make me more money. One's going to support my grandson. Or maybe it's for you, it's you have the choice of you can go fishing all day, or you could go hold the bags while your wife does all the shopping. You know, you've got, and so it's like, which one do I choose? Quality time with the fish and pole, or quality time with my wife? And you're kind of torn between these things of what I want to do and what I probably should do. And I think each of us have those moments where we're torn between what would make us happy and what would kind of be the best for what we've been given. In our scripture today, we hear that strange story that Jesus told. So there was this man who was hired as a manager of a rich man's belongings. There were some people who accused the manager of being wasteful. So the rich man said, it's time for you to give an account of what you've done with my belongings, with my wealth that you've been put in charge of. And the man was so scared. He was like, it's time for me to give an account. I'm not really sure what I've done. That kind of stuff. I've got to go give an account. And so he made a plan for himself. If I get fired today, I need some friends who will hire me, or at least let me borrow a few bucks until I can get my feet on the ground. So he calls some of the people that owed the rich man money, and he says, okay, look, I know you owe him 100 bucks, but knock it down to 50. Hey, I know you owe him 800 bucks, but knock it down to like 500. Just kind of, that way they're good friends with him now, and he's got somewhere to be in case he gets fired. His goal was to make life easier for him. His goal was to make things better for himself. But when the rich man found out that the manager that was in charge of his money had helped others, he actually patted him on his back and said, "Good job." Now, it's so confusing to me. I mean, so many questions. I don't get it. So this man that was accused of wasting your money, the man actually loses some of your money by forgiving other people's debts, and you pat him on the back. It's crazy. It just doesn't make sense. And in your mind, in my mind, it shouldn't make sense. We don't understand it, and it's because God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't really understand what God is doing sometimes, and it leaves us a little confused. So let's talk about some things that we might take from this strange story. So just like the manager in our story, you and I, we've been given some things in our lives that we're supposed to manage. Our family, our money, the good news of salvation. We each have been made manager of these things in our lives. And each of us have been called, or will be called, to give an account to God for what we've done with those things. That doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong with it. And it doesn't mean that we've done everything right with it. We will simply have to give an account for what we've done with it. The manager in our story, Scripture doesn't say that he's done anything wrong with it. He was accused of doing some stuff wrong with it, or from wasting the money, but it doesn't say that he was actually wrong with anything that he had done. He was just living day to day. He was watching the money. The story doesn't say that he was stealing or squandering. It doesn't say that he was investing or making extra money. It just says he may not have done anything wrong with the money other than just watch it sit there. But out of the blue, when it was time to give an account, because he had not done anything wrong, anything with the things he had been given to manage, the rich man told him he wasn't going to be in charge of those things anymore. He would have to find someplace else to work. So he was dealt a bad hand that day. Somebody had accused him, maybe falsely accused him, rightly accused him, I don't know. But he was dealt a bad hand that day. And you and I, some days, we wake up and out of the blue, we're dealt a bad hand. We didn't necessarily do anything wrong. We didn't ask for it. It just sometimes we get dealt a bad hand. We get a bad diagnosis. The stock market crashes and we lose our investments. We lose a friend because they have to move with work. The company cuts your job out of the blue and you weren't expecting it. Your car breaks down. These things, they don't make sense, and they're unfair. But here's the good news. We don't have to give an account for the things that go bad in our lives. We have to give an account for what we did when those things went bad in our lives, what we did with it. Will we blame someone else? Will we fold and give up? Or will we make lemonade out of lemons and then sell it to an investor and become known, world renowned for the best lemonade in the world out of these lemons that we've been handed? Those choices are left up to us as the managers of this one and only life that we've been given. And so there's a difference between simply living life and making your life count. So we can simply live life, or we can make this one and only life count for something. And so on that day, when it's your turn to give an account for what you've done with what you've been given, my question is, will you be found guilty of simply living life, or will you be praised for making your life count? So there's three words I think that we should define that could possibly happen in this story and happen in our lives. The first one is thief. So a thief says, "What's yours is mine, right? And I'm going to take it and do with it what I want." Someone who's selfish says, "What's mine is mine, and I'm going to take it and do what I want." But a good steward, what you and I have been called to be, a good steward, says, "What's mine is actually God's, and I want to use what's been given to me to better his kingdom." And so God has given you everything you have. Will you be a thief? Will you be selfish or will you be a steward? So my question is, since we are all stewards of our lives, money, possessions, family, and the gospel, what will you do with the things that you've been made a steward of? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your blessings on our lives. We thank you for the things that you have trusted us to be stewards of. God, we ask for your forgiveness this morning for wasting those things, for letting them sit on the back eye of the stove, for letting them sit on the bookshelf and not using them at all. God, we ask your forgiveness for using those things for our own benefit, for being selfish with the things that you've given to us. And so, God, we ask this morning that you would give us the knowledge and the wisdom of how to use these blessings that you've given us in a way that will not make us look better, but, God, in a way that will make much of your name. So people who may not know you will come to know you. God, we give you thanks and praise for your forgiveness, for your grace, and for your mercy. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.